All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be continuing our Viva sessions. And today with us, we have a speaker to talk to us about workplace analytics. So we have Kevin Keeler, who's a co-founder of Enable UC, to come talk to us about his experiences and knowledge on workplace analytics. So welcome, Kevin. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're up to?
Yeah, no, well, great. Well, thank you very much for having me, and congratulations to you guys. I mean, I think you're almost up to 100 episodes, and now I think you're an award-winning show or award-winning podcast. So I'm super excited to be here. As you said, I'm the co-founder of Enable UC, and Enable UC is a small consulting firm that works with both customers and vendors to help them get the most of the out of the Microsoft ecosystem. One of the things that, you know, one key tool that we use to do that is analytics. And so that's analytics across, you know, all the call quality and usage and adoption analytics. But, you know, as part of that, we're super excited about the opportunities and possibilities through workplace analytics, which we're going to talk about, which now, of course, is called Microsoft Viva Insights as well, depending on some of the documentation calls it still workplace analytics. But excited to talk about that with you gentlemen today.
Awesome. Well, that's a good segue into what I want to cover. There's a lot of terms out there. maybe you could just cover off at a high level. What is workplace analytics, the main purposes, the main benefits, and just clarify if there's any difference between my analytics and Viva Insights, or if they're all the same and how it all ties together?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because I think first and foremost, you know, people should understand that workplace analytics or Microsoft Viva Insights, they are what's known as behavioral analytics. So it's really about all of the data that's extracted, and then therefore the potential benefits, is based on what people inside your organization or what you yourself are doing. And to contrast that, there's also, you know, a set of analytics called sentiment analysis or sentiment analytics, which is where you ask people things like why they're doing it. And we'll talk about it probably in more detail, but one of the, you know, the best possible world is you have both. And so if you're only looking at one side of the coin, there are some limitations. But that being said, the benefits of behavioral analytics is it gives you an understanding of things around, for instance, you know, people's, when are they starting working? When are they ending working? When are they, you know, what features are they using, meeting attendance and durations. So there's definitely some interesting things that you can look at. But like with all analytics, most of the benefit is in looking at two things: comparisons across different groups, and as well as trends. So, you know, just looking at kind of the analytics without that comparison or without that trends, you really don't know if the number that you're seeing is 95%, is that really good or really bad? And so, you know, that's important to recognize. And then with respect to, you know, there are a lot of terms. So my analytics, which now is then surfaced inside of Teams as the Microsoft Viva Personal Insights, those are effectively the same thing. You know, one could be delivered as a digest in your inbox for people that turned it on. Now it's surfaced inside of Teams, but the Teams piece, the personal insights, also has some additional things, like, for example, with Headspace, you can do a guided meditation. It reminds you to praise your colleagues. It also lets you check in, so you can kind of keep track personally of, you know, how you're feeling on a particular day over time. But it is important to understand that then that's just the kind of the personal insights or the my analytics. And then there's, you know, manager analytics or Viva Insights for managers. And then there's also the broader workplace organizational analytics, or Microsoft Viva Insights for business leaders is what I think they're calling it now. So different tiers and a lot of different terms.
Yeah, that makes sense. And just to confirm, I guess, clarify for our viewers, this also surfaces the My Insight surfaces an Outlook, right? And I've seen this in my own tenant where I get some very interesting statistics on, I get some very interesting statistics on how many recipients have opened a message and how many have forwarded it. That is rolled into the Viva Insights offering, right?
Yes, it is. And I'm no licensing expert, but there are different levels of licensing. And so there's like My Analytics and then something like My Analytics Full. And to get those open rates and things, you have to have the licensing that's called My Analytics Insights Full. So if some of the audience goes to look for that and they don't find it, then that may be the reason, you know, the reason why. But you're absolutely right, Curtis, that inside of Outlook, like some of the things as well around, you know, giving you little tips and, you know, delay sending and you know, of different things. And they're trying to, you know, integrate and surface, you know, these behavioral insights in the different tools, right? And I think over time, we're going to see more and more of that.
Good. Yeah, good to clarify that. And just lastly, you know, we talk about analytics and what it is. What have you seen, Kevin, in terms of just some of the business outcomes and some of the benefits organizations have got at a high level leveraging Viva Insights?
Yeah, I think one really important thing that I just want to kind of put out there is this is not this can't be an IT-led tool deployment, because first of all, to get benefits out of it, you have to combine the behavioral data that comes from the Office Graph and from Office, you know, the Office 365 applications. You must combine that with data that's residing in your HRIS, your Human Resource Information System. Because if you don't, you're not getting all these wonderful examples that Microsoft likes to show. So you have to get HR on board. And the other reason you need to get HR on board, because, you know, you talk about the benefits. Well, this tool just tells you about behaviors. It doesn't actually do anything to improve the behaviors. And if you think about it in a large organization or in any organization, it really is HR that's, you know, tasked with developing people, developing leaders, coaching leaders. So when, for instance, Viva Insights tells you that, hey, as a manager, did you know that you're attending all the same meetings as the people that you report to you? Well, clearly that's probably not an efficient use of time. Maybe that's a bit of a trust issue. So it will surface that. But in and of itself, if you don't then, you know, have somebody who has the capability to coach you on, hey, what should I do about that? You know, really, it's almost worse, because now you've got something that says you got a problem, but you have no way to fix it. So this is really, you know, must include HR as well as IT to derive those benefits. You know, but then on top of that, like things like if it's important to your organization, I've seen where they've said like one-on-ones are important for the development of our people. And so Viva Insights, the workplace analytics piece, will let the organization know which managers have the time and are making the time to conduct the one-on-ones with their people. So, you know, that becomes very useful if that's an important thing to your organization and if you believe that that coaching is going to drive business benefits. You can also look across different departments, as long as you load the HR information, to see, well, wait a second, this department is spending a lot of time in meetings. So maybe there's a coaching opportunity to say, hey, have you tried shortening your meetings? Or like it looks at something it calls unproductive meetings, which are either long or large. So they're saying, hey, you as a department are having far more really large meetings as compared with every other department in the organization. And this is where we get back to that comparison piece. Now, maybe there's a reason for that, but this is something, it gives you areas where you can have some good conversations. So certainly those insights allow HR and individual managers to at least consider certain things and have some discussions. And that's really where the benefits, that we've seen in terms of people that are starting to pilot this particular tool.
It makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Kevin.
So Kevin, you talked a little bit, you talked a little bit about sort of like the My Analytics and the manager, analytics, like My Team Analytics.
Yep.
Maybe talk to us a little bit more about how you see the value of like the leader analytics, which is like the organizational portion of that, insights.
Yeah, as you go up and Microsoft, I'm not sure if they've changed this number, but originally they were saying, really to derive the full value of workplace analytics, you need to kind of enroll at least 1,000 people, right? So, for a smaller organization, especially as you move up to the leader analytics, there you're looking at, broad interaction. So for example, it creates this very cool collaboration visual to show you across your organization, how are the different groups collaborating? So it creates this kind of collaboration web. But an interesting thing that it also does as part of that is it identifies people in your organization, not individually, because it protects privacy, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But it lets you know that there are some specific people that are kind of super collaborators. So, sometimes when we're rolling out things, we look for, champions. And it gives you, it gives the business leaders insights into, okay, are there people in our organization? Like I remember one organization was like 8% of the people, reach 90%, collaborate with 90% of the people in the organization. Now, the trick is, at least you now know as a business leader, okay, if we find these 8%, we can get our messages out and, they can model good behavior, those types of things. So I think certainly, when the business leaders, the senior leaders in an organization, are often putting in place, the culture. They're trying to say, hey, for instance, we don't want people working after hours or on the weekends or these types of things, or we don't want people to be burnt out. When you roll up those analytics at that business leader level, and so now you're looking across, all the departments and the, kind of the senior managers who have managers underneath them, I think that this gives you the yardstick or the compass to figure out if the things that you're trying to do, are they having the impact, right? So if we say we're going to try to shorten the workday, now you can look at it over the next, weeks or months and figure out as a senior leader, is that actually having the impact that we want it to have?
Right. And so I guess with, we've sort of gone through like the story of like all the different functionalities and whatnot. Yeah. So, are you noticing like organizations like sort of dipping their toe in it or just sort of going like full out? And then are there any programs or things that they can get into potentially maybe with Fast Track or something like that, like that you know of that could help with their, their onboarding or their transition to insights?
Yeah, so I know that some reseller organizations are offering some of those workshop type of Aviva Insights workshop, so you can kind of come in and explore this more. Certainly, at different organizations, Microsoft has been willing. You can negotiate some pilot pricing because right now, although once again, with the caveat that I'm no licensing expert, and it is difficult. I think Microsoft is still trying to figure out what people are willing to pay for this. But, I think the MSRP is like $5 per user per month. but it's like, it's part of your EA. So it's an annual commit. So, you know, that's difficult to dip your toe in, right? So if you say, you know, like Microsoft, if you say, okay, well, you should enroll at least 1,000 people. Well, at $5 per user per month, that's $5,000. Now, all of a sudden, it's, you know, an annual commit, that's a $60,000, and those are US prices, so you got to convert them to Canadian. So those are, you know, that's a relatively hefty, you know, kind of commitment, and that's just the licensing. Right now, as I said, you got to get the HR on board, and then there's monthly data loads that have to come. So, you know, it's, I think this is one of the challenges is, you know, if you have analytics that are most useful when you have a giant group, well, how do you pilot it, right? And yeah. So I do think Microsoft, with some of the case studies, I think that they're going to the typical large organizations that seem to try out a lot of new Microsoft stuff. And I'm pretty sure they're cutting them a pretty nice deal and working with them to get a case study. So I guess if you're listening, you're part of a big organization, it's early days, you might be able to go and negotiate some kind of sweet deal, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to say, like, I mean, I know that there isn't any trial capabilities like with some of the other feature sets. So that's a really good point. Sorry, Michael, back to you.
Yeah, no, I was just mentioning, I think out of Inspire, I think there's going to be some workshops that are Microsoft funded around Viva. But yeah, if there's no trial licensing, I'm sure Microsoft can work something out for that instead of doing the full annual commit for seeing how this would work in an organization.
Yeah, they've definitely, at least in some organizations that I've had the opportunity to work with, they've been willing to do that.
So if we think about, you know, all this analytics, either at a personal level or kind of further up into the organization, up to HR, where is this data coming from that is, you know, these analytics are pulling from?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's interesting, like until recently, like the beginning of this year, you know, it didn't actually pull anything from Teams, for instance, right? Yeah. So I would say the vast majority of the data is coming from Exchange, and specifically it needs to be Exchange Online. So people say, if you got it on-prem, does that work? Well, no. So because your calendar is the most useful kind of place to figure out your time blocks. So for instance, when you're saying, you know, like, how do you know that your manager is spending one-on-one time with you? Well, first of all, you must load kind of the manager hierarchy from your HRIS system. So it has to know who everybody's manager is. And that's why you need HR to be part of it. And then you've got to keep loading it, right? Because people move roles. And so it deals with that well. But that's how, for instance, if you just, and it's really been good in a sense. And, you know, because everybody's working from home, arguably the analytics have been much better in the past year. Because if, for example, you bump into your manager while you're walking down the hall and he or she says, hey, Michael, I wanted to, you know, hey, we haven't had a one-on-one, do you have 15 minutes now? And you go and you sit down in a, you know, huddle room. Well, if that wasn't booked in your calendar, nobody knows that happens, right? So really your calendar is driving a lot of this. And then on top of that, you know, now activities. So your workday starts, you know, when, you know, emails are sent or opened or chat messages or calls, and then, you know, meeting information as well. So most of the analytics is coming from, you know, I would say from Outlook Exchange, and then some from Teams. Some of the My Analytics, there's Windows 10 has some application tracking stuff that you can turn on or turn off. That's only used at the individual level in terms of how much time you spend in a document, and that gets added to your collaboration time count. Now, the real value, as I said, is when you load and combine that with additional data. So you can, for instance, load data from your CRM system. So if you have dynamic CRM, and that becomes very interesting, because if there are behaviors that your top salespeople, so if you load, for example, quota attainment data, you know, what percentage of your sales quota is a particular salesperson hitting. If you load that and if you looked and if there was certain behaviors that your top salespeople were doing, that would be something that maybe you would want to coach others. You know, are they doing more emails, less emails? Are they having more meetings, less meetings? Whatever it is, it really matters that, okay, the top performers are doing something consistent. Now, it may turn out, and this is the limitations of analytics, it may turn out that your top performers are doing nothing consistent or nothing consistent that shows up as part of, you know, kind of the behavioral analytics. And similarly, you know, loading HR data, like a perfect example is your workday. Well, you know, if you're a international or a national organization, time zones become really important. And by default, it doesn't know what time zone you're in. There's some nice analytics in terms of saying how much time did people spend in meetings and how much could you save. There was one organization that said you could save $13.6 million by having shorter and smaller meetings. Well, to do that, you also have to load hourly rate data for the different people. Otherwise, you know, Viva Insights Workplace Analytics just assumes some, I think it's like $65 per hour fully loaded rate for everybody, which is, you know, not going to be accurate. So the data comes from mostly, you know, Office and Outlook, but the real value, you know, you really got to be pulling it from other places if you want to do some good stuff.
I mean, that's a perfect segue into some of the privacy conversations. I know Workplace Analytics got quite a bit of a heat last year, or maybe I think it was about last year, where around, you know, how Microsoft is handling the data, how, you know, personal data versus, you know, kind of removing kind of that PII information. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was very interesting. I mean, so this isn't technically part of Workplace Analytics, but there was a productivity score that they surfaced inside the Office Admin Center. And it turned out, because I was interested, because then all of a sudden there was all these things like it's like Big Brother and you know, like I was looking, where's this all coming from? It turned out there was one person, like it ultimately came back to one security researcher who misunderstood how this works for the most part, wrote something and then it got picked up. And so it actually caused me to reread 1984 because I was like, people are comparing it to Big Brother and I've forgotten. So I reread the book, but so it isn't Big Brother, and Microsoft really has gone out of their way to protect in all kinds of different ways this data. So for instance, the My Analytics data, so the personal data that if you turn that on and if you see how you're spending your time, how much focus time you have, that is only surfaced to you as the individual. And you can choose to opt out of it as the individual. So, that individual data is only shown to the individual. It's not shown to your manager. Okay, so now when you get into kind of the manager level and the organizational level data, you know, Microsoft makes sure that by default, when you set up Workplace Analytics, there's all kinds of defaults. And so by default, any group less than five, there's no information shown. And in a bigger organization, maybe you bump that up. Maybe you say, okay, groups less than 10. And then it even does some things like, so for example, meetings. Sometimes, like if you're, let's say you're a big organization doing, I don't know, a merger and acquisition, you might want to, for instance, say any meetings that have certain terms, we want to exclude because we don't, you know, we don't want to see that this group is having extra meetings or whatever. And then you can also hash, encrypt kind of meeting subject lines because you know, some of the data analysts, they can do some searches. Like if you wanted to, look at a certain type of meeting, like it does that based on the meeting title. And so if you say, hey, I even want to encrypt that, then you can choose to, when you set it up, to even turn on things. So at every level, Microsoft has really tried to give the, you know, to by default, you, and you can't lower that five, you know, that five limit. So by default, they've tried to put reasonable things to protect individual data. And then on top of it, they've given administrators that set this up additional, you know, controls where you can even further restrict it. So, you know, they're definitely working hard to avoid any kind of Big Brother type of tool. And when this researcher wrote this, I was interested. You know, there are a lot of tools that organizations deploy to track individuals at a very detailed level. Microsoft Viva Insights Workplace Analytics is not one of those tools.
No, that's perfect information. I know that there was a lot of marketing and news conversations around that article and concerns, but I think Microsoft just handled it in probably one of the best ways to kind of remove those concerns. But yeah, like you said, it's not like a Spectre product or something that's monitoring right. What users are doing all day and screen capturing anything like this. This is really to improve productivity with your organization.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, you mentioned productivity, and I mentioned that thing that they call productivity score. And, you know, I think that people testing out and thinking about workplace analytics, it is very difficult to use it to measure or to really improve productivity, because, you know, what productivity is not always clear. That's actually a very complicated discussion. And so I think it was wrong of Microsoft to try to call that one tool productivity score, because it's like, well, what is productivity? If you have more meetings, are you more or less productive? If you send more emails, is that good or bad? So I would say if you're, you know, Microsoft Viva Insights can help you certainly around well-being of your employee base. But if you're trying to measure productivity, I would say it in and of itself is not going to be a productivity measurement tool. So if somebody said, hey, go measure productivity, I would not go and say, let's turn on Microsoft Viva Insights for that.
Yeah. Because even in your example of like pulling in Dynamics or whatever, that's really understanding behaviors, but then you have to then apply like, hey, what is working in those certain scenarios and try and increase the audience for that. So.
Yeah. And I think like with all analytics, like often, I mean, it's fantastic when somebody then considers these things, and it might actually, you know, as I said before, it might give you ideas of conversations you should have with specific people or further questions to ask. But, you know, if you take a simple example around, you know, the length of your workday, well, you know, one employee might start at 6 a.m. and work till 10 p.m. because they're just totally overwhelmed with, you know, quantity of work. Another individual might start at 6 a.m., you know, work until mid-morning because they have some caregiver responsibilities to, you know, older parents or their kids, and then, you know, decide to then work later in the day and work till 10 p.m. So for both of those people, it looks like they have a long work day. But on one hand, if you did the sentiment analysis and asked them, you know, the person would say, I'm totally burnt out. Like, help me. Yes, thank you for talking to me because I'm working from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And the other hand, the person says, wow, this is fantastic that the organization allows me to work whenever it's most convenient for me because it allows me to deal with my kids or whatever it is, right? So, you know, the behaviors in and of themselves is just a piece of kind of the pie. And, you know, you really, it points you in terms of questions that you should ask, but you shouldn't really just be running these reports and then making some important decisions, right?
Yeah, good stuff, Kevin. Shifting gears a little bit and thinking about us, you know, we're all IT pros here on this show, and the you know, thinking about IT pros and the role of the consultant, like what role do they have with respect to Viva Insights?
Yeah, well, so certainly when you're setting up, you know, workplace analytics, you do need somebody who kind of has the, you know, office admin capability. And so certainly there's a role of IT in terms of setting that up from a permissioning perspective. I would also say, like, if you're listening to this and you're an IT pro, you know, I've said it before, but like, make sure you reach out, like, you know, have that broader IT where you bring in the right business leaders. And in this case, it's absolutely kind of the HR person. You know, a lot of times in IT, there's a lot of very smart people in terms of, you know, data analysis, and the data scientist people, you know, often exist or, you know, inside the IT group. So I think that this is really where IT can help people understand the limitations of some of this data, because they understand some of the behavioral data. And think about organizations, you know, I mean, like, not most large organizations use other tools as well. So they might use Zoom or Cisco WebEx for meetings in addition for team meetings. So IT then, to get the full picture, has to assist in pulling in data from other sources, certainly automating this monthly data load from the HRIS system. There's a bunch of automation tasks. So, you know, to kind of summarize it, it's like the IT people, you know, the IT pros really need to help with the setup and the permissioning, and also maybe involving people from the sponsorship perspective, you know, dealing with some of the data analysis, because I think a lot of times expertise resides there, and then some automation of some of the ongoing data loads to get the most out of, you know, Veeva Insights.
Mm. Thank you for that. And just finally to wrap up, where do you see, you know, Veeva Insights going? I mean, clearly there's been a lot of churn and change, you know, it was formerly workplace analytics, and we still,
yeah,
even in this podcast, we've been calling it workplace analytics, but where do you kind of see the next few years, like, this going? I mean, obviously anything can happen, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think that that's an interesting question, and I think you see Microsoft, you know, they've kind of come up with this employee experience platform, and, you know, and then they have the four pillars that I know you've kind of talked about on other episodes. You know, I think Microsoft has always been about the bundle proposition and kind of the, you know, the total being more than the sum of its parts, and, you know, I think that this is where the opportunity is. So, for instance, you know, these behavioral analytics that are surfaced in Veeva Insights, I think surfacing them in other tools, you know, right now Teams is the great kind of portal, the information portal. So a lot of this is showing up first inside of Teams. But I think, you know, as you pull in more data from other places across Office 365 and across the Office 365 graph, that increases the, you know, the usefulness of the insights. But I think as well, so for example, like Microsoft, who bought LinkedIn, and LinkedIn bought a sentiment analysis product called Glint. So right now, I mean, that's even a separate license. You know, if you can figure out Veeva Insights licensing, then you'd have to figure this out. But maybe, I would certainly imagine that Microsoft would roll this in, and then you would have both the behavioral analysis, which really Microsoft is in a unique, you know, spot. They have a real competitive advantage because most large organizations are using Outlook and Exchange as their primary email tool and their calendaring tool. And that gives you, you know, as I said, that's a primary information source. So if they then bundle in some of this sentiment analysis, they certainly could pull additional data feeds from LinkedIn, you know, in terms of collaboration outside your organization. Like, that's where I definitely see that going. And then they, you know, they start popping up like those helpful hints in terms of, you know, delaying this, or, hey, maybe you should reach out to this person, you know, or reminding you that you made some other work commitments or you put something in the to-do list. I think Microsoft has a lot of pieces, and right now they're disparate pieces. I mean, Microsoft Veeva right now is more of a marketing umbrella as opposed to an actual integrated product set. But, you know, what I like about Microsoft is they throw out these big aspirations and they've now aspired to, you know, have this employee experience platform. And over, I think, the next, you know, year or two, we're going to see them really make some positive strides to actually integrating a whole bunch of these disparate tools right now.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I mean, I definitely learned a ton on this call. Like, there's so many questions out there that are unanswered about Viva Insights and formerly Workplace Analytics that, yes, you know, the regular person won't know, or even the IT pros don't even know. So I definitely appreciate you coming on and answering a lot of those questions. I think it'll benefit a lot of users and organizations with us.
Yeah, no, well, thanks for having me. As I said, it's a real privilege, and congratulations on you guys continuing with this great series.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, so anyways, thanks everybody for listening in. We're going to be continuing our Viva series as well as some of the other modules, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
Thank you.